You know, I guess that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, it's the Get Your Podcast crew. Kind of, not really, because I'm just really just by myself. But here, you got, this is your boy, just right here. And I wanted to do a little bit something different. I kind of wanted to introduce some little, you know, that's my own thing. I kind of want to talk about my fandom and some shit that I like. You know, whether it's movies, whether it's shit going on in the world, whether it's, you know, things going on in your family, just topical things that I think are interesting. On today's episode, I meet up with my homie Matt from Smackin' It Raw, my boy, and we talk about our fandom for Ghostbusters. You know, Ghostbusters is a thing, that's something that I always liked, something I always like to watch, something that I always, you know, have the feels for, I guess you could say. So on today's episode, I hope you enjoy me and the homie Matt talking about Ghostbusters. Here we go. Today, we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to talk about some movies that I like. I got my homie Matt here to talk about Ghostbusters. Matt, I know you like Ghostbusters, right?
Hell yeah, I love Ghostbusters.
Okay, so give me an idea of when you first got into Ghostbusters. Like, what was your first thing that you saw? Were you a little kid? Were you a teenager?
No, I was a little kid. So my mom always talks about this, is there were two movies, well, two or three, that I absolutely loved, that I had on VHS that I would just watch nonstop all day long. It was the original Ghostbusters, and it was the first two Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Yes. So,
literally, I would watch them. Like, I would finish Ghostbusters, and I would either put on Ninja Turtles. I may have rewound and restarted Ghostbusters, like, constantly watching them. I would have to, I mean, I was probably, like, four or five, like,
yeah,
and it's been my shit ever since. Like, I still watch whenever, just let me throw on Ghostbusters and go check that out. Like, it's been a little while. I'll watch it with my kid. Like, I fucking love that movie. And then you got the cartoon. So then I was watching the cartoon. I had a Ghostbusters birthday cake one year. I think it was my birthday. I actually got like the Firehouse playset one year, which was fucking awesome.
Oh, you got the playset? You got the toy playset?
Yeah.
I
had all the little fucking action figures. We went to, I think, Universal Studios, and I've got a picture of me as a kid next to the Ecto-1.
Oh yeah, they had that little like stage thing where you can go watch them. Like they kind of remake that scene with Gozer on top of the tower.
Yeah.
That shit was dope.
Dude, from a child.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Well, it was the same thing with me. You know what I'm saying? We're roughly the same age. We're both 26 years old.
Yeah.
You know, 26. we're born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, so we're true 90s kids, you know? So, like, yeah, I mean, like, it was the same thing. It was, like, one of those things that you always saw. Like, it, you know, the first time of that music. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you first heard that music. Yeah, you hear that, and then you hear that, like, in the library scene. Like, you know what fucking movie that is when you hear that song. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's just, like, it was, like, a perfect combination of science fiction and comedy. But not, like, so slapstick comedy, too. You know, it was, like, that... It was kind of like that deadpan humor. Like, it wasn't overacting. You know, it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It was kind of improvish, very improvish comedy.
And there's also a lot of adult humor in there. So, like, it wasn't just for kids. Yeah. Like, you got the whole scene where Ray's getting a blowjob from a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, it took me years to figure out that that's what was going on. Like, I had no idea as a child that that's what was
when
happening.
when he unzips his pants he does the cross-eyed
Or even in the fucking library where fucking there's ectoplasm everywhere and Venkman gets it on his hand, he's trying to fucking throw it off,
like, yeah
came in his hand, like,
Yeah. And it's like, it's so crazy too, because like, it was like one of those things that like, it's like good for kids and it's good for adults. It's like every spectrum could enjoy it, you know? And it was like, it didn't take itself too serious. So like, as everybody knows, right? You know, Ghostbusters was made in 1984. Ivan Reitman is the director. Harold Ramis is the writer. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these people have worked with each other before, but you know, most people know that Dan Aykroyd's actual grandfather was a ghost buster. Like, you know, he had stories of like, you know, spirits living in the world and shit like this. And like, he decided to make that into a movie, you know, and that would spawn Ghostbusters. Now, like, let me ask you a question. Would the movie had been better if it was Eddie Murphy instead of, what's his name?
Bill Murray.
The guy that plays, the guy that plays Winston. Because it was supposed to be Eddie Murphy in that role.
See, now I had this discussion with TC, and I need confirmation, because TC said that Eddie Murphy was supposed to play Venkman. And I thought, I was with you, that he was supposed to play Winston.
Yeah, so he was supposed to play Winston. Yeah. Because like how I remember it from like the Netflix, how did this get, not how did this made? It was like the movies made by us or whatever. It's on Netflix. Like Bill Murray was brought in because of Ivan Reitman. He brought in Harold Ramis and Ivan Reitman to the movie. And Dan Aykroyd wanted to have Eddie, but, you know, Eddie was a big fucking star. He already made, you know, Beverly Hills Cop. So there was no way they could even afford him.
Right.
So that kind of like what canceled out Eddie Murphy. So then they went with like, you know, they went with, what's his name? The guy from Hans Rock's Cradle. I can't remember his name. Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson.
Yeah. So they went with Ernie Hudson. But I think the movie would have been, I think Eddie Murphy would have stand out too much if he was in that role. What do you think?
So I think the beauty of Winston in this movie is he's the everyman straight guy. Like, he's not this nerdy scientist. He's not, you know, he's just like, he doesn't really believe in ghosts, but he just wants a fucking job. And now he's like, oh shit, ghosts are actually real. You guys weren't bullshitting.
He has that best line. He has that great line. He's like, I seen shit that would make you white.
Yeah. To all the white people. It was great. See, I'm looking here. I'm trying to look up to see. And I see that he turned down the role. Eddie Murphy turned down the role to be in Ghostbusters, but it doesn't say who he was supposed to play. It just says that he was offered the role by Dan Aykroyd and he turned it down. And that he said that in 2019 on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay. Well,
so
either way, they couldn't afford him at that time.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy would have made the, like, it would be a very different movie. Like, he is a lot of personality. He would have brought a bigger spotlight to that role, which isn't a bad thing. Like, that it could have been fun. It could have been just as good, maybe better. But I think the way that Winston was played was absolutely fucking perfect, because when you've got Egon, who's fucking trying to drill a hole in his head to prove a scientific theory, or you got fucking Peter, who's this he's this con man fucking womanizer. Like, you've got all these characters. It's nice to have that, like, one of us, just a normal guy on the street who's like, dude, I just need a fucking job. This sounds like, will you guys hire me? And you come in, it's like, holy shit, what the fuck is going on here? I don't know anything about any of this shit, but if you guys pay me enough, I'll do whatever the fuck you want. Like, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the, out of all the Ghostbusters too, that's the most, that's the one I relate to the most, and that's my favorite, is because in a group of, like, most of my friends are really smart and intellectual, and I am the stupid one. So in that group, I feel like I am Winston. Not to say that Winston's stupid, but it's just that, like, you know, I'm just a regular person. I'm just a regular person. But yeah, so, like, you know, what were some of your favorite quotes from the first movie?
Well, first off, my favorite Ghostbuster is Peter Venkman. I fucking love Bill Murray's character.
Oh man,
I had a huge crush on Sigourney Weaver as a child.
Okay,
Dana. Okay, that whole scene, like both like after she got out of the gym before she gets attacked by the fucking dogs in the chair and sucked into the fucking closet, but also when she's Zool on the bed and she starts floating and shit, like
quote. And the dress that she had.
Yeah, but I mean, favorite quote, dude, it's one of the most quotable fucking movies ever. Like, there is no Dana, only Zool. Like, I use that regularly. Like, I just randomly, I think I just used it in front of my mom or my mother-in-law the other day where she said something about my wife and I'm like, there is no Kate, there's only Zool or some shit like that because my wife was in a bad mood. I also love at the end when Zool asked them, are you a god? And he says no, and they're like, Ray, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It just popped in there. I don't know where it came from. Just what popped in, Ray? Like, dude, there's so.
Is it the subtleties too? And like the maid, when she's walking around and they use the blasters, and she has that way of saying, what the hell y'all doing? You know, just that part is just like when somebody quotes that, you know exactly what movie they're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then like there's that part, you know, we came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Yep.
You know, that's another one. You know what I'm saying? The first movie like was such a classic. There's like so many lines, like you said, like the music was great in there. You know what I'm saying? Like even though the movie was really like, it was set in New York. I'm not going to lie, this is going to sound crazy, but I felt like it had such a Chicago vibe to it, especially with the blues type music that was piped in there. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, all those guys are from Second City, so there was that humor in there. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a little bit of, like, why I see the little bit of attachment when it comes to, like, the improv and the humor. The thing is, like, when you talk about Ghostbusters, too, like, did you ever dress up as a Ghostbuster?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually think I had one of the toy proton packs as well.
Yeah. The one where, like, you press it and it made, like, a noise.
Yeah, and it's got the little fucking...
It's got the foam.
And it would spin.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. So, like, I still have those toys today.
Really?
Yeah, I still have those toys today. Like maybe some down the road, I'll take a picture of, like, the fire. I have 3 firehouses.
Really?
Yeah, so like go ahead. So like
no.
As you know, I do a lot of like flea market shopping and stuff like that. So like one of the things I was trying to find was a firehouse, right? But I can never find one complete. It's always missing something, the sign, the doors, the pole. Remember the pole that you put the figures on? So I had bought one incomplete, thinking I could go find the stuff like that, right? So I had one incomplete and then I found one. Not really looking for it. This guy was selling the figures and the firehouse for one price. Right. Okay. And so he knocked down the price because it was closing. The flea market was closing. So he knocked down the price because Natalie was in a Ghostbusters costume.
Okay.
So then I was able to get that firehouse with the doors and everything like that. And then if you've seen Playmobil, they just released like new Ghostbusters stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and those are good. Those are better, I think, than the ones that we grew up with. And Charlene got me that firehouse as a Christmas gift.
So, right when I got into Lego,
wasn't that
long ago, there is a Lego firehouse, and I saw it. But like, I wasn't into Lego to the point where I'm like, I'm gonna drop $300 on this Lego firehouse. I'm not gonna lie, I thought about it. But I couldn't pull the trigger. Now I might have fucking been like, hey, Kate, listen, I'm buying a $300 Lego firehouse. This is going to be fucking
dumb.
But
no, that thing at is that crazy. Point, I couldn't.
Yeah.
That thing is crazy. Like, it definitely, like, makes you feel like you're in there because it's separated on 3 floors. Like, it has.
I can hear you. Keep talking. I'll be right back.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Is the Keymaster visiting your house right now? But like, yeah, like the thing about that Lego set is like it actually had 3 floors. So you could actually play like, you know, the first floor with the car and everything else. And then the third floor, which is where the containment unit was, you could actually do that. Okay. What you got here? He's about to pop out something. Oh, snap.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yep.
And
that's huge.
Speaking of that firehouses.
You got the... Oh!
That's Dr. Peter Venkman.
Yeah, Dr. Peter Venkman. Yeah.
And the firehouse, yeah. Funko Pop style.
That is dope. That is dope.
Mm-hmm.
Have you opened those?
I have, yes.
Okay.
I have a severe problem with opening things. So I am not a good toy collector.
Okay, no, that's fine. I mean, listen, the Funko Pops are okay to open. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The Ghostbuster figures that I have, like, they're all open and shit. Like, the one thing that was hard for me to find when it came down to the Ghostbuster figures was, I don't know if you remember, they used to come with the little small, like, clear ghosts in the packages.
Mm-hmm.
So those motherfuckers were, like, actually more expensive than the actual figures because they would always be loose. So in the thing, in the containment unit, I don't know if the guy knew, but in the containment unit, the things were in there. So I was happy to get those.
Oh yeah, dude, that'd be dope. You open your ghost containment unit and all the ghosts are fucking just chilling in there.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. Like, and I think that's like the great thing about Ghostbusters, that like to do the costume too is so inexpensive.
Yeah,
you know, like you basically just get a piece of cardboard metal, you get like the stripes, the black and yellow stripes, you spray paint it black, and like you basically can be a Ghostbuster. You just get that jumpsuit from like Menards or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. get the little patch and you're a Ghostbuster. It's like inexpensive.
If you think about it, like Stranger Things did a Ghostbusters Halloween costume with the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
We're both fucking wrestling podcasters. The Elite just did a Ghostbusters cosplay this year for Halloween. Mm-hmm. Like everyone fucking loves Ghostbusters. So you watched the cartoon as a kid, right?
Oh, of course, the real Ghostbusters.
Yes. How much do you remember about that?
I remember almost everything leading up to the, because they had a spinoff with Slimer.
Okay.
So I almost remember everything right before that.
I don't think I remember the spinoff with Slimer. I remember, oh, we'll talk about that. Remember the Slimer Kool-Aid?
Yeah, of course. You know what? They're bringing it back. In the theater only, though. Ecto Cooler.
There you go.
It's only in the theater, though.
I can get Ecto Cooler at the theater?
Yeah, that's what they said. They said you can only buy it at the theater.
Dude, I am getting Ecto Cooler if I go 100%.
Oh, my God.
So,
Go ahead.
Real Ghostbusters. I don't know why, but there is one episode that just is embedded in my mind, and it's where, like, they go into the Nightmare Land, and it's got all the fucking crazy stairs and shit.
Yeah,
whenever I think of the real Ghostbusters, that one there, and I think like didn't they go like under beds and shit to like get into the Nightmare Land?
That's the Sandman episode, I think.
That might
be the guy with a crazy ass voice. He was like,
"Yeah,
Ghostbusters, you can't escape from."
Just drilled into my fucking head. Like that is the one thing I remember from that show.
The one thing I liked about the show, I actually thought it was a tad bit better than the movie. Because it was just like the movie. The beats, the rhythm, and the way they like solved and did everything was just like the movie. You know, you have the comedy angst. Then you get into the fucking music. They had that freaking 1980s, like, I don't know, R&B type, you know, fast-paced music in the show. And then, like, but I thought that the villains, the ghosts that they had to deal with were way more extreme than the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fucking Sandman, dude. Like, that guy was fucking crazy. Like, he was almost like a low-key version of Freddy Krueger. But he was trying to put people to sleep and trap them in there. You know what I'm saying? So he could take over the world and cross over. And like there was a time where like, the one episode that I like the most is when they tell the story about how they got their multicolor suits. It's because their suits still had the ectoplasm from when Stay Puft melted on them. And Peter forgot to get rid of them. So the radiation from the containment unit gave those suits life.
Yeah.
So then they had to battle themselves, which is how they got the multicolor suits, because those old suits were basically fucked up.
Did you watch the new, like, I think it was like Ghostbusters
Extreme?
The Next Generation. Was it Extreme? Where it was Extreme three of them and one of them was a girl?
One of them was a girl. One guy was in a wheelchair. And there was, what's his name? Was it Pedro? I can't remember. But one guy was Hispanic.
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but no, I watched the shit out of that too, and I enjoyed that too.
I actually enjoy that one. I thought that when they did the 2016 version, I thought that's kind of like where they were going to go.
Yeah.
But instead, Paul Feig decided to just fuck every fandom and was like, no, I'm just going to do it my way.
Well, so let me ask you that. So we've had two sequels. We had Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
And then we had the most recent, not the one that's in theaters. The reboot, yeah. Kind of. All female Ghostbusters. How did you feel about... We'll start with Ghostbusters 2. How do you feel about Ghostbusters 2?
Okay, not as funny as the first one, but I thought where they were going, I thought it was good. I mean, they played off into it with like the whole 5 years. They're basically going bankrupt. Nobody cares about them. And then nobody really needs them until shit happens with Viggo, you know?
Yep.
The thing about Viggo, that like his character and the reason why he was taking over New York was way too complex of a story.
Yeah.
But in today's horror movie type culture, it fits in with today's culture more than it did. It was kind of a little bit like ahead of its game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have a spirit, like kind of like Chucky. So he's a spirit stuck in a picture. He needs a host. Right, he already like abducted, you know, Jovan, whatever his name is, and you know he's basically looking for the next host, which happens to be Oscar, you know. So I kind of like it on that sense. It's kind of like has a more horror movie type vibe.
And then it's got the pink semen flowing through the underneath New York that is controlled by emotion, whether positive.
Yeah, the mood slime. The mood slime.
I was not. I don't know. I just Ghostbusters 2 never really did it for me. Like
okay.
So. One, I don't remember Winston being in Ghostbusters 2, which bugs the shit out of me.
Yeah, he was rarely in the movie. He was rarely.
I need all four Ghostbusters. I understand. Like, the slime thing was weird because, like, they covered the Statue of Liberty in slime and then had all of New York singing and they moved the Statue of Liberty like it was a fucking robot and, like, wrote it in. And I. Viggo, honestly, I think part of it was Viggo creeped me the fuck out as a kid too.
Okay,
where like
that painting, none of the, that painting,
like Zool and all that shit didn't bother me, but Viggo's face was just fucking unsettling.
Yeah,
and I didn't like looking at him as a kid, so that also might have been it. But I never really felt Ghostbusters 2. That is not one I go back and watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like okay, Ghostbusters 1. You hear it, you know it. You're gonna watch it no matter what scene it's on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters 2, it's kind of like, okay, what scene is this? I'll wait till they start getting back into the groove of things and then I'll jump in, right? So like it doesn't have as many hits, but I think it's aged well in a way.
Okay.
It's aged well. Winston with a jerry curl though, it's kind of not aged well, I can tell you that right now.
What about,
you know, I don't know if that was, he was just done doing playing Solomon on Hand That Rocks the Cradle, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he was just making transitions, you know, but here's the thing with Ghostbusters 2 that I wanted to ask you. There was a contraption that they used to catch a ghost that they only used once. It dealt with mirrors and lasers. Do you remember that scene?
Vaguely, yes.
There was a scene where like they had like these pods with mirrors and there was like lasers around them. It was supposed to be like a new trap.
Yeah.
Which they only used once. And in the cartoon, they never used it again, right? But in the Playmobil, the toys, they had that type of contraction. So I was like wondering, like, was that supposed to be something and they just never used it again? I don't know if you had some backstory on that.
I do not, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have no idea if that was ever supposed to become something more. I mean, so think about this, man. Like, you make the first movie, every kid wants a proton pack, every kid wants a trap, right?
Right.
Why not make a new trap to sell?
That's true.
You know, like...
That's true.
Everything's manufactured as a toy to kids because kids are... This is a cool new trap. This is the new way to catch ghosts. This is a better trap. I need the new trap, not the old one. I prefer the old one. Like I like the old style trap. Like,
yeah, you roll it, you stop on it. It's easy. You know what I'm saying? The thing is, like, I think Ghostbusters 2 was kind of coincided with the cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, like, cause I think the slime, you know, how it was more colorful in the cartoon, it was like a little bit more colorful too, you know? And I think they were trying to sell, like, what was that slime blaster tube looking oxygen tank thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know. I was never really sold on that.
No.
You know? And it's funny because like when you go to Comic Cons, they're like the least people to take pictures with. Like the one that have them, you know, like most people gravitate towards the proton packs. It's just like, oh, it, I don't know, it just doesn't look cool. It just doesn't look cool. It looks like you're.
And besides, as a kid, like, I guess maybe as a kid, it might be fun to like cover your friend in slime. But if I'm going to do that as an adult, I've got my own slime blaster. I don't need one strapped to my back. Like, it's not how I roll.
And it's not pink. That's why.
No. It's
not
pink. Well,
depending on what you had, but.
I was going to say, if it's pink, you should go see a doctor.
But listen, like, the one thing I did like about Ghostbusters 2 is Rick Moranis.
Okay.
Right? Because Rick Moranis was, like, you know, he was kind of looked at as, like, kind of like the intern in the first movie. He wasn't given, like, much opportunity. And then, like, in the second movie, he was kind of, like, the hero. And he got to make up with Janine, dude. Janine.
Which is crazy that Janine went from Egon to him, like, dude had no game whatsoever. I have no idea how he pulled that off, because Janine, the entire first movie, all she wanted to do was fuck Egon. Like, she was all about that. Even like when they brought him in and he had the fucking tinfoil hat on, and and she's like, "It's so nice of you to take care of this poor man."
He was just
all on his nuts that whole movie, like. Ghostbusters, what do you want? Like, didn't give a fuck about anyone else, but when Egon was in the room, she was all about that shit. Now, all of a sudden, over here, switch to the accountant, because that's what he was an accountant.
Yeah, yeah.
Dana's got a baby, like, from somebody else.
I forgot. That's right. He was an accountant, like, on the same floor. That's what his character was.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, they never really told why, but maybe she saw something that he liked. He was good with numbers. It sounds sexy, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, he was the keymaster, bro.
That's true.
When you're the keymaster, people tend to take notice.
I mean, there's a bunch of things you can unlock with that key, but but you were talking about 2016, right?
Well, that was going to be the next one.
Okay.
How did you feel about the reboot with Kristen Wiig and
Leslie Jones?
Leslie Jones.
What's the name? McCarthy. Not Jennifer
McCarthy.
McCarthy, yeah, McCarthy was in there, and Kate Mazenin from SNL. I like them, right? I like the four of them as, like, individuals, right? Because at that time, they had just did Bridesmaids, right? Mm-hmm. And Paul Feig was coming off of that high off of Bridesmaids. And so, you know, this should be a banger, right? He's doing this and he's doing Ghostbusters. It should be no problem. And the thing is, like, I think people get confused why some people don't like this movie. And it has nothing to do with them being an all-women cast. It has to deal with that the movie kind of just sucks, you know?
So,
and it's not, and the thing is, like, I enjoyed the movie for what it was, right? Like, I think at some point they were like, okay, the fandom and everything is getting to be too much. So let's just give it like, show the fans some love by doing these cameos and the Ecto-1 and the Slimer. Right. But instead, if they just went out and just did their own movie without doing the fan stuff, I think it would have been a good movie, because it was funny. Go ahead.
I agree and I disagree. So,
OK,
I'm like you. I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, I thought Melissa McCarthy was funny. I liked what's his nuts in there? Chris Hemsworth being in there.
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, he was good.
Leslie Jones was great. You know, the whole talk about her uncle and all that stuff. Yeah. I thought they did some really cool things with, like, the proton packs and the traps and everything, like the different shit that they introduced. I wish that Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd were, like, I wish it was in the Ghostbuster continuity where, like, the Ghostbusters had existed and these people had come to, like, kind of take up the mantle, because, like, ghosts had been gone and now they're coming back or whatever, these paranormal investigators. I wish they had kept it in canon. So like, I'm fine with Ecto One. I'm fine with Slimer. I just wish like it wasn't. We've got Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd playing random people that aren't fucking Peter Venkman and Ray Stantz. Like, let them be them and let them have a cameo as themselves in there as retired Ghostbusters or whatever at the end. Like, I would have rather had this be a sequel where these women come across, you know, they base what they're doing off of what they find out. Like, maybe they, instead of moving into a place above a Chinese shop, like, they move into the old firehouse and they find some old equipment, and then she modifies the old equipment to update it to today. Like, that I would have enjoyed.
Yeah, same. And it's kind of like what we were saying before. It's kind of like have that extreme Ghostbusters thing. Like, they're learning to be the next Ghostbusters, unlearn the tutelage of like a former Ghostbuster, whether it be, you know, Peter Venkman or Egon or somebody, you know?
And the CGI was kind of cheesy.
The CGI was, I don't know what was wrong with it, because it was still the same people that owned the Ghostbusters today, Sony, right? I think Sony, Columbia, I don't remember. But yeah, I think the Ghost, they tried to make it too much like the 80s Ghost, like the special effects. But yeah, I mean, even from the Ecto-1, like, how could you mess up on the Ecto-1? I didn't like the way it looked either. Like, the leather part with the, like, they could have done something cooler, you know what I'm saying? They could have made it updated car. You know, speaking of which, like, these people that have their independent Ghostbuster like clubs have really cool cars. Have you seen the Dodge Magnum?
No.
There's a Dodge Magnum in one of these clubs that has a Dodge Magnum Ghostbusters Ecto-1.
All right. Send me, text me, DM me. I don't care what you do. All of the Ghostbuster shit you find from these clubs, anything going forward, anything you see that's Ghostbusters, you DM it to me. Hey, have you seen this? Whatever. I will geek out about Ghostbusters with you for the end of time. Like,
okay.
But, I think they had a good idea. I'm with you. Like I said, if they had moved into the firehouse and then found Ecto-1 underneath like a fucking tarp and pulled it off and was like, oh, what the fuck is this? And blah, blah, blah. Still being the characters that they were. 'Cause I had no issue with the characters.
I really
liked that aspect of it. It's just, I wish it was more in line with the original Ghostbusters and less of, like you said, it's kind of its own thing with little tributes here or there.
Exactly. Because I like the suits, like the look that they gave with the suits, and the proton packs were a lot sleeker too. Like, I like that. Like, it wasn't chunky. I thought it was cool.
And what would have been cool for me is in the real Ghostbusters, Slimer was kind of. So instead of having Slimer as just like an Easter egg ghost, whatever, you could have let Slimer be like the fucking mascot, like he was in the fucking cartoon.
In the cartoon.
Sidekick. Like, that would have been fucking cool too. I would have loved that. Like,
yeah. And going back on the cartoon, do you remember the episode where, in that same episode, the Sandman episode, right? Like, it was Winston and Janine that was left. And Janine dreamed that she was a Ghostbuster. That was the way to defeat the Sandman.
Yeah.
And they could have done something like that, where like they could have had Janine maybe teaching them or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. It could have been
Janine's niece or some shit like that. And that's how they found out about whatever.
Exactly.
Like, something.
Some type of connection.
I did read. So Dan Aykroyd, TC was right. Dan Aykroyd originally wrote what would become Peter Venkman, the character for Bill Murray, originally wrote it for Eddie Murphy. And there was also there was also a role in there for Jim Belushi, but he died while Dan Aykroyd was still writing it. And Eddie Murphy was doing, Dan Aykroyd was in Trading Places, so I don't think it was Trading Places, but I thought it said he was in Trading Places. But basically, Eddie Murphy turned down the role. So he had some other shit going on. He turned down the role.
Was he doing Golden Child?
Maybe. So he was doing something else at the time and decided to turn down the role, and it ended up becoming what it was, which now, if you had Eddie Murphy as Venkman, that might have been interesting. Like, like I said, as Winston, it would have brought a whole different feel to the movie and a whole different dynamic that could have been really cool, but I liked having the straight man. But having I love Bill Murray. Like, Venkman is my favorite character, as we talked about. So, like, I'd hate to not have him in there. but Eddie Murphy also would have been great in that fucking role. Like, it would have been different, but he's got all of the personality and charisma that fucking Venkman needs to be in that role. Like,
right. Now, and I thought it would have been great. But then again, I don't know, Eddie Murphy just has a big personality. It would already have been like his movie almost.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know? It's kind of fucking Peter, like, it's kind of Bill Murray's movie. Like, you feel...
Oh, you think so? You think so?
You don't feel like Bill Murray's the head Ghostbuster in that movie.
I mean, I think he has the most lines. Like, he has the most funny lines.
But think about this. No. Think about this. Dana is the main female character who is captured. Okay, is pursuing her, trying to date her. He has the interaction with Peck.
Okay.
When fucking Peckerhead shows up and shuts down, like, he is the main person that everyone kind of goes to and interacts with. Like, that movie kind of revolves around him. He's also the front man that talks to everyone. Like, he's the one that comes out and negotiates and gives them the price when they catch their first ghost, when they catch Slimer for the first time. True. And they're like, oh, well, we can just go put it back. Like, he's the personality. He's the front man in the fucking commercial. Like, he's on the commercial that they watch on TV for Ghostbusters. Like, he is the face of the Ghostbusters. Whereas Dan Aykroyd's kind of like your mechanic slash tech guy. Egon's the scientist who comes up with, you know, what that stuff does. And then, as we said, Winston comes on later and he's like, I want a job. This seems cool. So he's the fourth addition to the team. But yeah, no, Venkman's the fucking head Ghostbuster in that movie.
You know, I didn't think about it until you said it now, but he's the only one that has the floor office. So, like, you know, he's the one that directly people have to go sign. So, like, yeah, I guess he's the captain of the team, I guess.
And he suckers Ray out of his money.
Okay, so that leads me. Okay, so that leads me to the next movie, right? So the new movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife, right? Now, first off, before we get into conspiracy theories and shit, what do you think of the trailer so far?
I'm happy with the trailer. So anyone that's watched anything I've done outside of wrestling with Reek on the Havoc Hour knows that I love Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is my favorite Tommy Doyle, and my favorite Tommy Doyle is going to be in this movie. So I can't complain about that. I like pretty much everything. Like, I'm excited to go see this movie. I've been excited since I first saw the teaser trailer, which feels like it was years ago at this point.
Yeah, the barn.
Yeah, exactly.
I was hyped
then, and I've been waiting and waiting, and the pandemic fucked us, and now it's like finally coming, and I'm super fucking hyped. Like, there's nothing that I saw in the trailer was like, like, I'm down 100%. I'm in all the way.
So that's the way I feel too. Like, ever since they did the trailer right, you know what I'm saying? And it was only like 8 seconds, and they chose the right music. You know, that library scene music, right?
Yep.
They chose that. They didn't really go with the, you know, they didn't with that. They went like the music that fans know of the movie. And it just had that little unveiling of the car, and that was it. Like, the fact that they did it that way, and they did just show you everything, that shows that, like, you know, obviously Jason Reitman, the son, is doing this movie. So he's like paid attention to detail of the movie. And now that they're showing the whole storyline with the kids have to move to this barn because the mom went broke or whatever, they lost money. And the kids discover that there's an Ecto-1 and all this Ghostbuster shit underneath the barn, right? And then, you know, Paul Rudd, I guess he like realizes that this one kid is like particularly special because they're carrying on a trap, then realizes that, like, you know, I don't know if you know, but, you know, your grandfather was blah, 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 you know? And then, like, it kind of shows, like, little things. There's little Easter eggs with the small baby Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, which is crazy.
Everything we literally just said we wanted to see in the 2016 movie.
Yeah.
Because even, like, the scene with the Ecto-1 where, like, it's got the ejector seat that comes out the side, and they're, like, hanging out the side.
Which was the toy. That was the toy. Remember,
which is, but it's an upgrade to the Ecto-1 we got in the movie. Like,
true.
It's taking the original Ecto-1 and adding cool upgrades for this, and like you said, it was a toy, and now we're getting to see a toy that we played with come out in the movie and be used. Like, this is the shit that we're like, I kind of wish they had done this with the 2016 movie. You've got tie-ins to original Ghostbusters characters. Like, this is what we wanted.
And the thing is, too, is like the thing that Paul Rudd brings up in the trailer is that like the whole world remembers who they were. Like they were like, you know, heroes at one point. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they kind of like died off because, you know, there's no ghost. So like that's basically in a nutshell the trailer for the movie, right? So like the thing is, I want to ask you, what is your theory on what the story is going to be?
I think that they're Egon's grandchildren, or it's Egon's grandchild. Yeah, that's how I feel too. And I feel like I think it's confirmed. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure you're going to get a cameo from Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd at the very least.
Yeah.
As far as beyond those two things, I'm not really 100% sure. Obviously, something happens and ghosts come back. And now these kids are taking over or using the equipment that Egon left behind. There's going to be some kind of legacy there, some sort of, you know, something to do with that. But as far as like a full fleshed, like, I don't know who or what the main villain is going to be or what the motivation is. I don't even really know like how these, you know, like you said, Paul Rudd kind of mentions, hey, you know, your grandfather, but I don't know like how Paul Rudd knows that and who, if anyone, Paul Rudd is related to, you know, like,
True.
Is he Lewis Tully's nephew? Like, did Janine and Tully fucking get it on? And, you know, he's the child of fucking Janine and fucking Lewis Tully. Like,
the mayor's nephew or something.
Maybe he's fucking, Sigourney Weaver's kid all grown up from two.
Like, oh, Oscar?
Yeah, maybe he's Oscar. Like, I haven't looked up to see who what his character's name is or who he plays, but maybe he's Oscar. So I've kind of tried to keep myself away from as much spoilers as possible because I really I want to go in and enjoy this the way I enjoyed the 2017 Halloween, which really it really reinvigorated my love for the Halloween franchise because I did it so well. And I'm hoping that this is kind of what we're getting here, is kind of like the Ghostbuster version of that, where it's like the next step all these years later in, you know, these movies and everything. So I'm trying to stay away from it as much as possible, but I am curious to hear what you think it's going to be.
Well, on the same plane, like, yeah, I think they're Egon's grandkids, right? But it's weird though, because in order for the grandkids to be this age and the mom is the daughter, right? That means that Egon had to be dating somebody while.
Very interested though. I will say, I was thinking about this as you were talking. So if they are, or Egon, you said Egon would have had to have been, like, we don't know what Egon was doing. Like, Egon, he had Janine, but obviously him and Janine didn't work out because she moved on to fucking Lewis Tully. So, like, maybe the reason that they didn't work out was Egon had a side piece. Like, he didn't seem like the kind of open book that, you know, he had other shit going on. You know, maybe he was into hookers. Got a hooker pregnant. You never know.
That's true. He could have, you know, just been had a bad day, too much ectoplasm, you know what I'm saying? Got the mood slime all over him, you know.
And you're figuring those kids are 10 or so, right?
The kids in the movie, in this movie?
Yeah.
I would say at least 10, maybe close to the teen, like 13, maybe. 13,
okay, so 14. 10 to 13. So 2021, 13 years ago, we're looking at 2008. So say their parents were over 18 at that point. Parents would have had to have been born in
like 90.
We'll say 20. So 2008, 20, parents would have had to have been born in 88. So that's 4 years after the first movie came out.
True. But then the second movie never really explains if he had something going on, or maybe, you know, maybe he did and the girl just didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. And then again, also the second movie was again the Peter Venkman show. Like, Peter, the child, Oscar trying to get back in her good graces. Like, again, Ray and Egon were just kind of there doing Ghostbuster stuff while the whole story revolved around Peter and his relationship and the woman that he was in love with and her child being stolen by some crazy fucking museum dude who's trying to resurrect a picture ghost.
Giannis? Like, Giannis?
Yeah.
Some of those scenes in there with Giannis, man, it's fucking hilarious. It's like when he's talking about the painting. Mm-hmm. Oh, Vigo doesn't like that. You know, and then you have Bill Murray like challenging Vigo while he's like looking at this picture, you know what I'm saying? Like doing all these different like poses.
Oh, talking shit like to the that. Picture. Yeah.
Yeah, talking to but you know what? I just thought about this in part two. Egon has his own like psychology thing. Do you remember? Like there's a scene in there where he like has like these two couples with the kids, and he's like, let's see what happens when you turn the temperature hotter. And of course you get angrier, right? And then he goes to like some other observant thing. He's like, okay, bring in the puppy. And he's like, okay, take away the puppy. Do you remember that? Like he has like, his own, in part two, he has his own like psychology thing going on. Really? So I wonder if that's where he meets the girl is maybe. While he's doing that.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe he cloned the children. I mean, he's a fucking mad scientist. Oh, my like.
With the slime?
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, I mean, like, yeah, I'm pretty excited for the movie. We're going to be seeing it tomorrow or later tonight. You're going to be seeing it, like, maybe in the next week or so.
Yeah.
Ectoplasm was a thing. Do you remember how it tasted?
Ecto Cooler, I remember how it tasted.
I mean, Ectos. What am I talking about? Yeah, Ecto Cooler.
I was like, Justin, are you hitting on me? Tastes like sweet and sour sauce, doesn't it?
A little bit of pineapple.
No, I do remember how Ecto Cooler tasted, and I am very excited to drink it again. Like I'm super soaked for that.
Well, then when they when they had the 2016 movie, they had the same deal where you could buy it in the movie theater. So it came in a can, right? And so knowing this, I went to go to the theater. And I went to go ask, hey, are you guys selling the Ecto Coolers? He's like, yeah, they're right up front. And so, like, I bought movie popcorn because Char loves movie popcorn, this large popcorn, right? And I said, can I actually buy 20 of these Ecto Coolers? And the guy was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so he got, like, a whole case, right, of them. Like, he got, like a big box. And I'm putting it one by one. They're helping me, putting it one by one. All of a sudden, on the 20th Ecto Cooler that puts in the box, his manager comes out and is like, hey, so you know there's actually supposed to be one per child, right? And I was like, yeah, they're in the theater right now. It's just like, I can't carry all this stuff at once, you know? And he's like, oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, let me get you a bigger box for that. So then the manager goes, leaves, and I look at the cash register, the kid, I'm like, yo, so what am I supposed to do? He's like, I'm just going to cash you out and just go.
So you said it was in a can. How did it taste in a can? Because I feel like it's not going to taste the same in a can as it did in a juice box.
Okay, so it was a lot sweeter. If you remember the juice box, right? It was basically like the juice box version was basically like lemon lime.
Lemon lime, yeah.
With a hint of like, I don't know, there was like a hint of something else. Like, okay. I don't know if it was like pineapple or peach, but something citrusy, right? And so like the can version was a lot more like, I think it was a little more tartier.
Okay.
Yeah, so but the new one is like in a bottle, like a Gatorade bottle.
Okay.
So it might be more closer to the original version. Now they did sell the Ecto Cooler in the juice box form.
Yep.
Like that same time when the 2016 movie came out. And those were super limited. Like only certain places had those, and if you found them, like it's either you had a choice of drinking them or keeping them. You know?
Did you keep your 20 or did you drink them?
I drank them. Come on,
I drank them. See, yeah. No, I thought as a toy collector, you would have kept one.
Well, I kept the juice box.
Okay.
I kept the juice box, so I do have one in the juice box.
See, I'm not gonna lie to you. Yeah. I did not go see 2016 in theaters because I watched the trailer. Okay. And I was not hyped for this movie from the trailer. I waited until it came out on demand and I rented it and watched it on demand. And after I watched it, I was like, this is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It's still not great. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of stuff I wish they would have done, but it's better than I thought it was going to be. Because when I saw that trailer, I was like, you know what? I'm not, this doesn't look like it's not my Ghostbusters. Like it didn't feel like it was going to be my kind of Ghostbusters, like the movie that I was hoping was going to be. So I didn't go see it in theaters. I waited till it came out and watched it at home.
See, the thing is, like, I liked about the Ghostbusters that 2016 that it did is that it showed that, like, girls could be Ghostbusters.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the one thing. If there's any positive out of that movie, that's the one thing that it did, you know, because, like, for 4 years, Natalie has been a Ghostbuster, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I'll send you pictures of it. But, like, my mom, right, for my birthday, like, I think 4 or 5 years ago, right, she gave me a box and she's like, you know, Just, I think Natalie would like this, but you know, this is something I found for you. So she pulled out and it was my old Ghostbusters jumpsuit from like the 90s. And It was the real Ghostbusters one, not the movie, like the cartoon.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it was cool. And she wore that for like 5 years straight. She grew out of it now. But it's crazy to see like Ghostbusters go mainstream. You know, Reebok has done multiple collaborations with Ghostbusters. You know, you could go to, what's it called? Halloween Spirit. Spirit Halloween, I mean. You could get a Ghostbuster suit there. They have props that look like a damn proton pack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is pretty fucking crazy. Because I thought that you had to spend, you know, thousands of dollars to get like a replica version, but you don't. You know, they got like a, what's it called? Like, you know, Mattel is like the property owner of Ghostbusters right now, right? And so they have their own version where they like release like replica prop versions of like the proton pack, the trap, the PKE meter. Like they all look weird. They all look like the same thing. And you know, you can all buy that now, which is pretty dope.
I will tell you what, if Lego re-release, because like they did Harry Potter when Harry Potter came out, and then I think after Fantastic Beasts came out, like they started re-releasing. Like I've got a shit ton of Hogwarts stuff. Lego Hogwarts, like all of the big sets, like that connect together. I bought the majority of them and kind of built my own Lego Hogwarts.
Okay.
Like, I've got a whole thing.
Okay. That's pretty dope.
If they re-release the Ghostbusters fucking firehouse, now this movie's coming out for Lego, I'm getting it this time. 100%.
Oh, man. See, that's tough because that one is massive. Did you see the new Lego that they just released? They released the Home Alone, the house.
I did not see that.
Yeah, they released that. And I think you can still go to places and find that. Hmm. It's the McAllister house. It's pretty dope. I think they have all the characters.
They do have a Lego Ecto-1 out, but see.
Yeah,
I've built a village, so I like to have things like put in my Lego village. So like it's basically a weird Harry Potter, Marvel, Star Wars like
village.
Crossover village with some stuff like my wife built a diner and some other things like that. So,
oh, is that the Friends? Is that the Friends room? Is that the Friends?
No. Lego it's like Friends? It's like a literal like 50s diner. It comes with a pink Cadillac. It's what they call a modular. So like she built some of these sets and they're in there as well. So I looked at that and I'm like, this is way too big to be like on the road with the other cars, which is why I didn't build it and get it.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Because it's more of like put on a shelf and display sort of not a car that I'd be able to put in the village. So that's why I held off on that. But the firehouse, I will find room for. I will take something out. Like Hagrid's hut can go and the firehouse is going in that bitch. Like
you don't sorry, need Weeping Hagrid. Wallow. You don't need Weeping Wallow. You can get rid of that, no, you know?
Exactly.
Okay. They actually, now that I think about it, they did two versions of the Lego Ecto-1. There's the big giant one, and then there's a smaller one with the four Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I think that was the 2016 version, though.
Yeah, I think that released the same time, because I have that one.
Yeah.
Is that too big?
I don't know. I wanted the original Ecto-1, and I feel like, I think the one they released was the one from the 2016 movie. I didn't think it was the original.
No, they got Ecto-1. They have one from the original.
That was either just before I got into Lego or I missed it.
Okay. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good build. It took a lot of time. But yeah, those were fun. What was also fun was this podcast with you. That was great.
It was. I had a blast
talking about Ghostbusters. I mean, we could generally talk about Ghostbusters for hours, but I'm not sure if anyone would find it entertaining. But if you would like to plug in your social, sir.
Oh, yeah. You guys can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritter. This is MattRidder. Also, We are the Smack and Raw podcast. We're the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub. So you guys can check out my link trees. Also at Matt Ritter on Twitter. I am not on Instagram, but we do have an Instagram and a Twitter for the podcast specifically, which is Smack and Raw Pod. You guys can also find us at creationworld.com and everything Creation World, Twitter and Instagram, the Creation World, T-H-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-A World, Facebook.com/creationworld, Facebook.com/group/smackingitraw. All of the places you guys can find us and our content. If you want to hear me talk about wrestling and shit.
Yeah. What about Dungeons and Dragons? Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, that's with Creation World. We recently dropped an episode of Dungeons After Dark, where we all play Dungeons and Dragons for the first time. So if you want to see a bunch of newbies who have no idea what the fuck they're doing, make their way through a Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
Dude, I hope every episode is like that one, where it's just confusing and just like like nobody knows where they're at, and then somebody didn't know that somebody was ahead and somebody was behind.
You're not gonna do a video version. This is just gonna be audio, right?
Yeah, just audio. Yeah.
All right. So nobody's gonna see this but you. But Thorn, my character's patron. I got this for that. So now I have something to talk to when we do the show.
What the? Where'd you get that from?
Amazon, where I get everything.
Okay, that looks like the COVID mascot, man.
It is.
It is, okay. Oh my gosh, that is great.
And if you want to see what the fuck we're talking about, you're going to have to go check out Dungeons After Dark.
Yeah, check them out. It was a good episode to watch. I thought it was really entertaining. And I hope you think this is entertaining. You can catch me in the Get Your Podcast on Twitter, Get Your Podcast on Instagram. Matt, for you and Matt, me and Matt, whatever the fuck I'm trying to say right now. Hope you guys had a good time. Ghostbusters, yo, we out of here.
Peace.